upset and, you know, with a bad attitude and just look down upon the earth and think, I think I'll just kill a few people. I'm thankful that we don't serve a God that's mad at us.
Amen.
Amen. A God that loves us. Praise the Lord. That loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
If that's not a good God, I don't know what a good God is.
Yes.
A good God. Praise the Lord. And he's good all the time. And you know what? He wants to be better to us. There's not a person in here that God does not want to be better to you.
Amen.
His will is for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's his will for you. Ooh. Have you ever questioned the Lord, Lord, what's your will for me? What do you want me to do? And what is your will for me? Well, it's right there in the Word of God. His will for you is for you to prosper and be in health,
amen,
even as your soul prospers.
Yes.
Now that's the kind of God that we're serving,
yes,
you know.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me, and I'm going to talk fast. Some of you guys talk fast, and it's hard for somebody from the South to talk fast. Because when you're from the South and you try to talk fast, all your words run together. But I'm going to try to talk fast and be plain at the same time. Amen. Because I know you're going to start getting cold because it's going to be colder a little bit. So we want you to be able to be comfortable and receive the Word of God that the Lord has given us. I want you to turn with me to St. John chapter 3. And I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture that is very familiar to you. St. John chapter 3. And partially verse 3. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again,
amen,
he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I thought I might have the wrong scriptures until Brother Darrell got up and quoted this. And I said, well, Lord, that's what you want me to talk about, being born again. And then down in verse 5, you know, Nicodemus had come to Jesus by night. He didn't come to him openly. He didn't come to him in the day, but he came to him by night.
Amen.
Because he was a teacher of the Jews, and he was a very important man. And he came to Jesus by night. And when he come in, you know, he didn't ask Jesus really anything when you go back and read it. Just all of a sudden, Jesus looked at Nicodemus and says, you must be born again.
That's right.
And Nicodemus says, what are you trying to tell me? You mean to tell me you want me to go back in my mother's womb and come back out again? Is that what you're talking about? And Jesus said in verse 5, he said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then down in verse 7, he said it again, ye must be born again. You know, if I told you you must do something, then there's no other option to it. It's something we must do. And I want to speak to you just a little bit tonight to where you can understand more clearly what the message should be to the church and also to the world. The message of the hour is the same that Jesus spoke in these few verses. Every human being must be born again. There's no other way around it. You must be born again, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Have you ever wondered why that Jesus said you must be born again? And have you really wondered what does it really mean to be born again? What does that really mean? Well, to answer the first question, you have to go back to the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, how many remembers how God created man out of the dust of the earth? And he seen that it was not good that man would be alone, so he put a deep sleep upon Adam, and he took a rib out of Adam, and he made him a woman. He made him a wife. And back at that time when God first created man, he gave them one commandment. Wouldn't it be great today if we just had one commandment?
Amen.
And if you really had a revelation of God, you would understand we really do just have one commandment. And that commandment is love. But even in the beginning of the creation, God said to Adam, "If you can eat of all the trees of the garden. But there's one tree there that if you eat it, the day that you eat that tree, you shall surely die." That was his commandment. Just one commandment. That's all he had. He could go anywhere he wanted to, do anything he wanted to do, but there was one commandment that he was given by God. Don't eat of that one tree. Just one tree. That's all he had to do. That would be great, praise the Lord. If the Lord just come down and there's a fruit tree out there and say it's an apple tree, and God told all of us, says, "Listen, I'm going to give you one commandment. Just don't eat of that one tree right out there." That would be easy to do. You would think there would be no problem in that. But you know, there was an enemy. He was called the serpent. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He was a deceiver. He was devious. So he got Eve alone one time. And I want you to remember this, that when the Lord told Adam that when he ate of that tree, he would surely die, Eve was not yet created. So Adam, no doubt, had told Eve what God said. She did not hear God say that herself. I'm going to give a little bit of credit to the women here tonight. Amen. But think about this. When the serpent came and he began to beguile Eve or to deceive Eve, he asked him, "Hath God said?" What has God said? God said, and Eve said, "Hey, we can eat of all these trees." But God said there was one tree that we could eat of, and if we ate of that tree, we would die. And the serpent said, "Ye shall not surely die." He just added one word to what God said. "You shall not surely die." And he said, "Listen, God knows that when you eat of that tree, you'll become as gods, knowing both good and evil." You realize there's something that Eve did not know. She did not know evil. Adam did not know evil until they partook of that tree. Amen. They didn't know about evil.
That's right. Amen.
But their eyes were open. Now listen to what happened. Eve went and ate of that tree. And the Bible says, before she ate it, she looked at it and it looked like it was good. And she desired it and she ate of that tree. And then she brought it over to her husband. I want you to listen very carefully. She brought this fruit over to her husband. And he said, "Here, eat." And no doubt in my mind, when Adam looked at Eve standing there with whatever kind of fruit it was, and he could see how that she took a big old bite out of it, but she wasn't dead. She was still living. She was still breathing. She was talking to him. Maybe, just maybe, Adam thought, she's not dead. Maybe God lied. But anyway, whichever way it happened, Eve gave the fruit to Adam, and Adam ate of the fruit. But you know what? He was still breathing. He still had life. He was able to talk to Eve. Eve was talking to her. Maybe they looked at themselves and thought, "We're not dead. We're not dead. We ate of the fruit and we're not dead. Maybe God did lie." I don't know, but I would have thought that if I was Adam. You would have probably thought it too. I ate of this tree. God told me not to eat of it. And the day that I ate of that tree, I would surely die, but I'm not dead. Eve, we're not dead. God, no doubt, has lied to us. But I ask you tonight, did God lie? God did not lie.
That's right. Amen.
Something died that day. The very second that Eve ate of that tree, the very second that Adam ate of that tree, something died. What died? Their soul died.
Yes, amen.
God had created Adam to live forever. He had created his wife Eve to live forever. I believe if they had never ate of that tree, they would be alive today.
Amen.
They would have never died. But something did die. But their flesh didn't die. Their mind didn't die. Their thinking. process didn't die. But the spirit of life that was in them, it died. And the Bible says, when Jesus came, he brought life. For in Adam, all died. That's what the Bible says. I believe it's over in Romans. In Adam, all died. But in Christ, all should be made alive. So from the time of Adam, all throughout the ages, all the men and the women and the boys and the girls that was born since Adam, every one of them were dead men walking. They had no life. They lived and they breathed and they conversed with one another. They made love and they made war and they did all the things that human beings do. But they had no life in them. They had lost the life that God had given them in the beginning. That is what died. And this is why Jesus, when Jesus come, the Bible says he was the light of the world. That he was life. In other words, in Christ was life. In him was the light of the world. And the Bible teaches us that since in Adam all died, but in Christ all shall be made alive, it lets us understand why Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very religious man. Nicodemus loved God. Nicodemus went to the temple. Nicodemus praised God. And no doubt in my mind, Nicodemus paid his tithes and his offerings. And Nicodemus was a righteous man as far as a man could be righteous. And no doubt it surprised him when Jesus said, "You must be born again." No doubt he was shocked when Jesus said, "You must be born again. What are you talking about?" But now we understand why he must be born again, because he was a walking dead man.
Amen.
Do you realize that you and I, before we are born again, we're walking dead men? We have no life in us. We have nothing within us, amen, that's going to extend beyond the days that we walk in the flesh. But when Jesus came, and when Jesus said, "You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit," then you can enter into the kingdom of God. Then you can have the joy of the Lord. Then you can have the peace and tranquility and the blessings of God in you. And then you can have eternal life when you're born again. This is why the world needs to understand why they must be born again. See, today, people, you join a church. You sign a card. You become religious. But no, the Word of God says, amen, you must be born again. Your life has got to change, amen. And then when a man or a woman is born again, guess what happens? Their nature is changed. See, you and I, every one of us, were born, the Bible says, we're born in sins, and we were shaped in iniquity. You and I and all mankind come into this world as sinners. We come into this world as thieves. We come into this world as murderers. We come into this world as liars. We come into this world, amen, as awful people. We come into this world as a sinful person. Ever watch a child, amen, how a little child will. You approach a little child and that little child has gotten some candy that he shouldn't have gotten. And you go to that little child and say, "Did you get this candy?" And then what's the little child going to say? No. The little child's going to lie to you right off the bat. Why? The little child was born a liar. You were born a liar. We were all born to lie.
Amen.
That's hard to accept for some of you. But if you'll think back when you was little, you lied like a dog. When your hand got caught in the cookie jar, you said, "No, that's not my hand. That's somebody else's." See, we were born in sin. We were born with the nature of Adam. We were born with a carnal nature, a human nature, a nature that was against the nature of God. So for us to have fellowship with God, our nature would have to be changed. And the only way our nature could be changed is we had to have a new birth. Something, amen, had to spiritually happen to us, amen, supernaturally happen to us to actually change our nature. See, I believe when a man or a woman is truly born again, their nature is changed.
Amen.
When you were in the world, don't lie to me now, but when you were in the world, I believe you enjoyed doing what you were doing.
Amen.
That's right.
Nobody had to hold a .44 to your hand and say, "Go party." Nobody ever told you that if you don't go party, I'm going to shoot you. You parted because you enjoyed doing it. Why did you enjoy doing it? Because you were a sinner.
Amen. That's right.
That was your nature to party. That was your nature to lie. That was your nature to do the things that you did. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what sinner people do. They sin. And the Bible said there was pleasure in sin. If there's pleasure in sin, that's why you enjoy doing it. Now, how many of you can be truthful and say, I really like what I used to do when I was a sinner? You did. That's your nature. That was your nature. But if you ever really had an experience with Jesus, I'm talking about a supernatural experience with the Lord, and you were actually born again, your nature was changed. The Bible said you become a new creature, a new creation in God. Old things did what? Passed away. All things, somebody say all things, all things became what? New. You all of a sudden became a new person. Your nature changed. The things that you used to love to do, you now hate it. The things you used to really enjoy doing, you used to enjoy partying, now you didn't want to party. You didn't want to stay away from such things as that. You didn't want to do it anymore. Why? What happened? Did you just suddenly make up your mind, I'm not going to do this? No. Your nature was changed and you didn't want to do it anymore. I used to say it like this, your want to changed. I used to want to do that, but now I want to do this. I guarantee when I was a sinner, there's one place that I did not want to go, and that's church. I wanted to go party, but I did not want to go to church. When I was born again, I wanted to go to church. I did not want to party. It wasn't that I changed my mind. It's the Spirit of God that came in me, changed me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have known men and I have known women that were racist. They hated black people. Or they hated Indian people. I know Indians that hate white people. Can you say amen? It works both ways, amen. And one of my best brothers, he just passed away, but he's a real man of God. And Brother Sorrow hated black people. He hated them. But what happened when he was born again? He began to love black people. It wasn't something he made up his mind to do because his nature was changed. Say amen. Yeah. I don't believe you can have prejudice in your heart, amen, against anybody if you're truly born again. You will love everybody. You will have love for the black people, the white people. You will have love for the people over there that's killing people and beheading people. Amen. There's something about your nature that changes, amen, when you're really, truly born again.
Amen.
And this is the message that Jesus preached, and this is the message of the hour, to, as far as I'm concerned, in the day that we're now living in. See, if we could communicate with the people that's not born again, what they really need. They don't really need to join the church. Amen. They don't really need to get hooked up in religion. They don't really need to go to this place or go to that place. They need to be born again. And when they're born again, God comes into the life, transforms them, hallelujah, and then they want to serve God. They want to pray. They want to read the Bible. They want to study the Word. They want to go to the house of God. They want to change us. It's a supernatural thing that happens when a person is really born again. How many can say amen?
Amen.
How many of you have actually felt that amen? It's just something that God did, and it's just all of a sudden. Sometimes it takes time. I remember when I was born again, and I suddenly realized I didn't. I went for two or three days, and I realized, just one day I realized, I hadn't said a curse word. How many of you used to cuss? How many of you used to cuss? Come on, that's all right. Raise your hand. I know all of you cussed. But I want to tell you something, children of God. When I got born again, I didn't realize I had stopped cursing. It was like two or three days later, I thought, I haven't said a curse word. And in other words, in my mind, I didn't try to, I can't say a cuss word, I can't say a cuss word, I can't say a cuss word. I'm going to go up there and I'm not going to say a cuss word. Jesus, help me not say a cuss word. Jesus, please help me. I never asked the Lord to deliver me from cussing. It was just, I realized that I didn't curse anymore. What was it? Something was going on in the inside of me.
Amen.
Something was happening down in deep in my mind, in my heart, my soul. Something, there was a change coming in my life. Amen. And it was something that worked slowly in me. Amen. I didn't instantly become a man of God. I can tell you that. It took time and it took months and weeks or months and years. Amen. To develop, amen, into the man that I want to be. And I'm not yet arrived. I still want more from the Lord, to be more from the Lord.
Amen.
To do more for the Lord.
Amen.
But see, it's something that God put in me. I can't take credit for wanting to serve the Lord.
Yes.
I can't even take credit for that. Why? Because before I served the Lord, I didn't care about serving the Lord.
Amen.
But what happened? A supernatural act occurred in my life and in your life that changed your desire, changed your will, changed your want to, changed your direction, and that was God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Only God can change a heart.
Yes. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Do you think about that? How many times have laws been passed? Amen. Laws have been passed against murder or thievery or all these kinds. But people still murder. People still steal. Laws are passed against abortion, but people still get aborted. Abortion is still real. Laws are passed against all kinds of things. But what happens? Amen. People still do it. But you get that one person, amen, that's doing those acts, amen. I'm telling you here tonight, I believe that God can transform a homosexual's life. He might have been, amen, a homosexual before. But I'm telling you, praise the Lord, when God comes in that person's life, He can change that homosexual and they'll no longer be a homosexual. It is the supernatural power of God. Amen. Why is that concerned? Amen. A homosexuality, a person that's a homosexual can be just as saved as a person that's a murderer or a thief.
Amen.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
You got any water, Brother Darrell?
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
But it's something that God does when He finds a heart that's searching for Him.
Amen.
When He finds a heart that wants to serve Him. And when God finds that heart of that person that wants to serve Him, and God begins to work in that person's life, and the Spirit of God comes in that person's life and begins to change that person from within, I'm telling you, amen, it's a supernatural act of God. None of us can take credit for our holiness or our righteousness or our right standing with God. My right standing with God is by the grace of God that He saved me, cleansed me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, changed my life, changed my direction, put His Spirit within me. See, that's all God's work. I'm just a willing vessel, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just a willing vessel.
Amen.
Willing to let God control my life, take over my life. And see, that's what God wants for every one of His children. He just wants all of His children to understand. Listen, God just said, give yourself to me. Just lift your hands, amen, and give yourself to me. And I will not only, amen, save you and fill you with the Holy Ghost, amen. I'll put a desire in you to serve me. I'll change your nature. I'll change your direction. I'll change your want to's, amen. And you can be a holy man of God, a holy woman of God. See, that's God's promise to the world.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
To every man, woman, boy, and girl that will ever be born, amen, all of us have the same opportunity to serve God.
Amen.
And to please God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
So the world
church
needs to be born again.
That's right.
Every person.
Amen.
My children, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren. Every person born needs to experience a supernatural act. A supernatural experience. A fellowship with God that only God can provide. He's looking for that heart that He can speak to. We were talking up late this morning a little bit, and I was talking about witnessing to people. And I was saying, you know, when you witness to somebody, wait till they open the door. Wait till they open the door of their heart. Then you can speak to them about Jesus. Amen.
Right.
But as long as that person's heart is closed, amen, all the witnessing in the world is not going to do anything for that person. But when that person begins to open their heart, amen, talk to them a little bit about Jesus. And you know, and you begin to talk to them about Jesus, amen, that door will swing wider open and wider open and wider open. And then you can talk to them about the love of God and how Jesus loved them, how they must be born again, and how that God will raise them up and God will deliver them from their addictions, and God will set them on high, amen, and they'll be the head and not the tail, amen, and they'll be above and not beneath, and God will bless them in the city and bless them in the field, and His blessings will overtake them if they just submit themselves to the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it a wonderful thing? How good is God? He's better than we ever dreamed.
Amen.
He's gooder than we ever thought about.
That's right.
He's a God that loves us unconditionally. I used to think God loved me when I did good and hated me when I did bad. How many's ever thought that way?
That's right.
I always thought God, amen, was a God up there, amen, just watching me. Just got His eye on me. If I made one mistake, He's ready to slap me down. But I finally found, amen, that he's a God of love, a God of compassion, and a God of mercy. A God that's looking down on planet Earth, amen, desiring, amen, to see people, amen, come to the knowledge, amen, that they can be born again. He wants to transform lives. He wants to change lives. He wants you to be born again. That is the message of the hour. But sometimes we need to let people understand why they must be born again. And it's not just a saying. It's not just something we just say, oh, are you born again? I'm born again. You know. No, it's something that actually happens. You actually become a new person. I'm talking about a new person. You might go look in the mirror and say, look like the same old ugly me. But listen, it's not the old ugly you on the outside. It's that beautiful you on the inside that God's looking at. I tell you what was the most ugly before when you was a sinner. Amen. You might have been a nice looking man or a nice looking woman, but inside you was a ravening wolf. You was a horrible looking person. But when Jesus come into your life and transformed you and you become a new creation, you're beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. A beautiful person. Have you never talked to a Christian, amen, that's been born again and the love of God just bubbling up over them, amen, and you can look into their eyes, the window of the soul, and all you see in their eyes is joy and peace and happiness and love, amen. You think, praise God, there's a person that knows Jesus.
Amen.
I would rather look at a person's eyes like that than a person's eyes that are looking back at me like, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Are you in the truth? Are they in the truth? Is he in the truth? Are they in the... Who's in the truth? You know, some people ask the question, who's in the truth? Are you in the truth? Have you ever heard anybody say a question like that? To ask somebody if they're in the truth, just turn around and say, no, I'm not in the truth. Are you? Everybody's in the truth, they say. Amen. But it's not asking a question about who's in the truth and who's not in the truth. It's not even asking somebody if they're saved. The best question to ask is, are you born again?
Yes.
Have you been born again?
Hallelujah.
And then wait for the answer. And the answer comes, yes, I was born again. So praise God, tell me about it. And when that person that tells you they were born again, they begin to tell you about their experience, you'll know for sure if that person's born again or not. You'll know for sure if that person's had a real experience with the Lord. Amen. Why? Because there's something on the inside of them, amen, that you're going to identify with. Amen. There's something, amen, that's going to bear witness with your spirit. Amen. That love of God, that love of Jesus, amen, is going to be in their heart and their mind and in their conversation. And finally, you found somebody. You didn't have to ask them what church they went to. You didn't have to ask them if they was in the truth. You don't have to ask them who they know and who they didn't know and where they're from and where they're going. All you need to know is, are you born again? And that person begins to tell you, then you've got fellowship. You've got a brother. You've got a sister. You've got a companion. You've got somebody, amen, to stand with you in the midst of trouble and persecution and tribulations and trials. You've got somebody to stand with you when you find someone that's born again.
Amen.
Because when you find somebody that's born again, you've automatically found somebody that's going to love you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, think about it. Think about it. We have the nature of God. When you're born again, your nature, you become a participant in the divine nature.
Amen.
You become a partaker of the very nature of God. You ever wonder what his nature is? His nature is definitely not to destroy. His nature is to save. His nature is not hatred. His nature is love and peace and joy and happiness and healing and deliverance. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And when you're really born again, you become partaker of that nature, amen. It becomes a part of you. So when you find someone that's born again, you found someone that's going to love you, that's going to care for you, that's going to be there with you, that's going to stand with you.
Amen.
That's finding someone that's truly born of God.
Amen.
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 So that's how important the message of being born again is. You say, well, Brother Hayes, I was born again, but, you know, something happened in my life, and the next thing I know, I was back out in the world, and I was out riding the roads, and I got drunk, and this happened to me, and that happened to me. Am I still born again? I guarantee you're still born again. Why can I say that? Because if you were ever born again, you become a new creation in Christ, a new creation in God. Old things pass away. All things become new. It does not mean you can't make mistakes. But when you do sin, when you do go back into the world, you have to go against your nature that God gave you. And that's why you feel condemnation, amen, because you're going against the nature that God gave you when he birthed you again. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
The nature that you now have since you've been born again, amen, is there. It lives in you. It breathes in you. It's part of you, amen. For you to see it, you've got to go against that nature. And when you go against that nature, what happens? Condemnation.
Amen.
You feel condemned what you did. You hate what you did. You despise what you did. It hurts you what you did. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because you're going against the nature of God that's in you. Now before, when you was in the world, you weren't born again. You sinned. You got drunk. You ran the roads. You did the things of the world. Most of you never felt condemnation. I'll tell you what most of you felt was a headache. Amen?
Amen.
A bad headache.
Yes, that's right.
Amen? And the only condemnation a lot of people feel, amen, before they're born again is when they've stayed out all night and they got to face the wife. And then that condemnation comes pretty quick because that woman's going to tell you exactly the way it is. And she might drag you to church and you might go up, amen, because you're sorry you got caught. And you might tell the preacher, amen, I'm coming up here. The Lord saved me. You're not really wanting to be saved. You're not really wanting to be born again. You're doing that because you're afraid of your wife. Because of what you went and done. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's no condemnation there. And the Bible says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Now there's two different condemnations, amen. The condemnation is you're walking in the Spirit, there's no condemnation to you. You're that life and you've got joy and you've got peace. But if you sin, you're going against the nature of God, you're going against what God put in you, then condemnation comes.
Amen.
But before you were born again, you were partying. You were having a good time. You understand what I'm trying to say to you this night?
Amen.
Is that God comes into your life and changes you. All He's looking for is a willing vessel. He's just looking for somebody to say, Lord, I give up. Lord, I want to serve you. Then the Spirit of God will come into your life and you're transformed, amen. The Bible says you're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You're in the kingdom of darkness, but when you're born again, you're caught out of the kingdom of darkness and you're placed in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of happiness. Amen? And then when you're born again, praise God, nothing matters anymore. All you really want to do is serve the Lord because your nature was changed. See, a lot of us, amen, they got it confused. A lot of us think that there are strong people in our midst, amen, that they have a stronger made-up mind, a stronger will to serve God. It's not your will. It's not the strength of a person's will compared to another one. It's walking in what God has already done for you. It's walking in that newness of life. It's walking in that new creation man that you are. That's where the power is at. It's not, amen, one person's will is stronger than another. It's just that person, amen, has submitted themselves to the change that God has put in their life. So the world needs to hear that they must be born again. Your children need to hear, amen, it's not about getting baptized. And I believe in baptism, but baptism, although it also does save us, it is not the answer to the new birth. It's part of it. Every step is part of what God wants to do in a person's life. Amen. Sometimes we think if we just go good and go to Sunday school and go to church, everything's going to be all right. No, you must be born again.
Yeah.
You could join the finest church, amen, that's in this place, amen, and in this area, amen. You could go and join the swankiest church you could find. You got to be born again. You cannot. See, that's what sets apart Christianity apart from every religion in the world. To be a Muslim, you've got to join the Islamic movement. You've got to say, I want to be a Muslim and I'm going to join the Islamic movement. Amen. To be a Buddhist, you've got to join the Buddhism. No matter of all the different religions, you've got to say somehow or another that you want to be a part of that religion. And you become a part of that religion by your confession wanting to be a part of that religion. Christianity is the only religion you cannot join. You must be born again.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? It's not anything anybody can join. You've got to have a supernatural relationship with Jesus in your life, and then you're born again.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a wonderful thing myself because, amen, I realize we're all baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, not because we chose to be brothers and sisters, because God, amen, put us in the body of Christ and made us brothers and sisters, praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's some churches, amen, you go to their church, amen, they're not going to call you a brother, amen, till you join their movement. Amen. You join up with us and we'll call you brother. Well, if you've been born again, you're in the body of Christ, we're automatically brothers. You ever thought about it this way? How many of you got brothers and sisters? Everybody here, praise the Lord. Got brothers and sisters, amen. Now, I'm sure some of you, you got brothers and sisters you probably wish you didn't have. But the fact about it is, we've got brothers and sisters in the flesh and we didn't have nothing to say about it, did we? We can't choose who our brother was or who our sister was. Mom and Dad didn't choose it. It just happened. Praise the Lord. And they become your brother and your sisters in the flesh. Amen. But it was not your choice. And it wasn't their choice. Amen. That's the same way in the body of Christ. When a person is born again, we automatically become brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter the color of our flesh. No matter our creed or nationality. Who we were raised at. Doesn't matter anything. Amen. Because God made us brothers and sisters. And that's what we need to understand tonight. We are brothers and sisters by the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. And no man, amen, can separate us. Praise the Lord. If we'll walk in that Spirit and that knowledge of what God has done through the new birth. Amen. Amen. It doesn't mean to join my bunch over here or join this bunch over here makes us brothers. That's wrong. You cannot join the church of God. You cannot join the church of Jesus Christ. You must be born into me. You've got to be translated into it by the power of God. Amen. So the Bible says all things become new. We're a new creation in God. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things become new. Where did that happen? It happened in here.
Amen.
It happened in my heart. It happened deep down within my spirit. And I became a different person.
Right.
And it was a divine act of God. So my credit I give to Jesus. Because
yes.
He made me what I am, praise
amen.
The Lord. And He's making me, amen, more and more into His image. And that's what He's doing for you. We're growing up in the Lord. We're coming into the image of Jesus, amen. What is the image of Christ? I tell you what it is. It's the image of God. It's the image of love and compassion and mercy. That's right. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. It's to walk in joy. It's to walk in peace. It's to walk in compassion. It's to reach out to a lost and dying world and be the peoples of God that God has called us to be. Amen. God's called us, amen, not to hate our enemies, but to love our enemies. God has called us to pray for them, amen, that despitefully use us and persecute us. God's called us, amen. And how can a man do that except to be born again? He cannot. Because his nature has got to be changed.
Amen.
And when your nature is changed, praise the Lord, you would have to go against that nature to hate someone. You would have to go against that nature to lash out at someone. Because your nature now is the nature of God.
Amen.
And your nature is to do good. Your nature is to worship the Lord. Your nature is the nature of love. How many's ever felt it? How many's ever been overwhelmed just with the love of God? Maybe you were praying, maybe you're driving down the road in your truck or your car, and all of a sudden you just think, His presence, how many felt His presence just fill the car or fill the truck? And you just, it's just like a just oceans of love. Just, how many's ever felt it? I pray that all of you will feel His love, and all of you will feel His compassion that He has for this world and for you.
Amen.
So when you're born again, when your life is changed, when you become a new creation in God, all of those things are passed away and all things become new. And you're that new person in Christ Jesus. You may still have that mole on your face, amen. You may still have that little spot, amen, on your cheek or whatever. There may be still a little bit of wrinkle around your eyes. But I'll tell you what, inside is a beautiful person that God has created.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're a beautiful person inside when God creates you, praise the Lord. Because He's created you in the image of His own Son.
Amen.
Amen. You're in the image of God. Amen. That's what He does when He puts a new creation, amen, in you.
Yes, amen.
So if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are gone. And one of my favorite scriptures is this, and you don't have to look it up because I'm going to read it real fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it said, "Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." He's saying that God, when he caused a new birth to happen in you supernaturally, when you made you a new person, when you made you that new person inside, he sealed you. Amen. He preserved you. He put his stamp of approval upon you. And it's like when you seal, amen, so a fruit jar, amen, and you seal it, amen, it pops, amen, it's sealed. Nothing can get in and nothing can get out. Amen. And that's what Paul is saying. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. And then it says this, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth." How many's heard the word of truth? Amen. "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed." How many are believers? He said you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
Sealed. I want to say it again. Nothing can get in. Nothing can get out. We are sealed with what? The Holy Spirit. When did it happen? When you believed. See, when you believe, when you really believe from your heart, it's when you become born again.
Amen.
You might not feel no heebie-jeebies. When I got born again on the side of an interstate. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I was so sick of sin, I couldn't stand it. I just got out and asked the Lord to forgive me. And I believe that night, although I didn't see an angel, I didn't see no lights, I didn't feel no heebie-jeebies. I just made a confession of faith and my life began to be changed from that very second. God saw in my heart, amen. And he changed me from within instantly because I believed. And then I believe he sealed me. Somebody say sealed. I like that word sealed. I like it because nothing can get in, nothing can get out. Let's sit together. Nothing can get in, nothing can get out. See, I do not believe a born-again Christian can have a demon. I believe you could be oppressed with a demon. I can believe you could be tormented with a demon. I believe you could be aggravated with a demon, but I don't believe you could be possessed of a devil. Because you're sealed. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. Satan ain't got no right in the kingdom of God. I'm born again. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Yes, I fight the devil. And I say it this way a lot of times. The devil might mess with my mind and the devil might mess with my body, but he can't take my spirit that God has sealed with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sealed, praise God.
Hallelujah.
And I have eternal life abiding within myself, praise God. Not that anything that I did, but what Jesus did when he gave me the new birth and he transformed my very life. Praise God. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Yes, the devil might torment us. The devil can attack us. The devil can aggravate us. But he can't do nothing with my spirit.
That's right.
Jesus lives in there.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. About 30 years ago, I was laying on my bed. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. God had spoke to me and told me that a few nights before that, he had told me, he said, he talked to me about the Jonah. He said, how much longer are you going to endure the belly of a whale? I called you and chose you and anointed you. That night, amen, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, because I had just quit preaching, I just couldn't take it no more. The rejection, amen, and people, you know, the response, amen, to me. And I just kind of got a job and was working, amen. And, you know, and we might go to church some, but I just didn't care nothing about it no more. Because it wasn't I give up on God, I just give up with people and trying to help people. That was over 30 years ago. And that night the Lord spoke to me and I said, God, I will work, I will labor, I will preach till I die, I will preach the truth. And I repented, amen, that I had stopped ministering, amen, to people. And a few nights later, I had went to sleep. And somewhere during the night, something happened. And I felt a heaviness on me and I couldn't breathe. And I woke up wide awake. And there was a hand over my face like this, and I couldn't breathe. And there was a person. Now, this was something I felt. I felt the weight of this, I'll call it a thing. But at that time, I thought it was somebody had broken into the house and was killing me. I could not scream. I could not yell. I couldn't do nothing. And I felt my life leaving me. Now, I was awake. I wasn't asleep anymore. I was wide awake. And I just like this. I couldn't breathe or nothing. And I couldn't plead. But then I thought, well, I'm being attacked. But this is some evil force or something. And you know how quick your mind will work. I couldn't plead the blood. I couldn't, you know, do the sign of the cross and all that. I couldn't do nothing. I mean, I was dying. And I could not do anything. And all of a sudden, something spoke out of me. It wasn't me. I've never experienced it since. I've never heard of anybody else much. Two or three others have told me something similar that happened. Something spoke outside of me. It was inside of me. Spoke out to this thing. And what spoke out of me said this. It says, Jesus Christ is coming this flesh. And when that spirit in me spoke to that thing, it immediately left me. And I started just gasping for the air. I said, oh, and I started breathing again and everything. What was that about? I'll tell you what it was about. The Bible says you're a reprobate. If Jesus Christ is not in you, you are a reprobate. Jesus is in me. Jesus is in you. And what the Lord was showing me was that there's nothing can stop me because He's here. The battle I can't fight, I couldn't fight that battle. I couldn't overcome that spirit. I couldn't overcome it. I was dying. There's nothing I could do about it. But Jesus stood up for me. Yes. And I'm telling you, He was showing me that in the worst of your trial, the worst of time of your life, no matter if it's persecution or if you're going through a sickness or a trial or whatever, I'm telling you, that Jesus that lives in you, He will stand up for you.
Yes.
And that's what He did for me that night. He proved to me. And you know what I thought? I said, Jesus, you're really there. You're really in me. You haven't left me. You haven't forsaken me. And the Word of God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. That's our Lord's promise to us. Amen. No matter if you fail Him, no matter if you make mistakes, no matter if you backslide. Amen. Amen. A backslider today is someone that Jesus said, come on back to me. Come on back to my house. Amen. I still love you and I still want you. And I called you knowing every mistake you had made, but I called you anyway. You're my child and I love you.
Amen.
And let me know, there's a lot of people today, amen, that's backslid on God, that's out in the world, that used to be in church and used to be on fire for God. Well, I'm telling you tonight, don't give up on them. If they're born again, Jesus has not given up on them. Let's reach out with everything we got and let them know Jesus still loves them.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because when you're born again, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And here's one of my favorite scriptures concerning the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
That tells me how long I'm sealed for. Can you say, can you understand this, what God has done for you when you're born again? He sealed you for a specific period of time. And that is until the day of redemption. That's the resurrection. That's when, amen, Jesus comes back to this earth and the dead in Christ shall rise first and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, amen, in the clouds and we will be with the Lord forever. That is the day of redemption and God has sealed every one of His that are born again until that day.
Amen.
Remember, what is sealed? Nothing can get in and nothing can get out.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost seals Himself within your spirit. He sealed Himself within your spirit. He's there within you. That's what spoke to that. That was the Holy Spirit speaking to that demon. Amen. And proving to me that I'm in you and I'm with you. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I'm with you tonight and I'm with you tomorrow. And he's with me to next day. He's with me next year. He's with me, amen. I think it was David that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he went on to say, amen. Amen. I'll live, amen, all my days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was a confession of David. David had faith in God, amen, that he was going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't have to be afraid. Because why? Because there was eternal life, amen, on the other side of the river. Amen. There was life and peace and joy. Amen. That's when you're born again, praise God. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear trouble. That's why the Christians today, amen, is in Iraq, amen, and in some of those places, amen, in Syria and different ones, amen, that are having their heads cut off, and their children having their heads cut off. I believe, amen, some of those people, amen, have got their hands lifted praising Jesus while their heads have been cut off, because they have the hope of a better resurrection. They have a hope, amen, of a redemption, amen, that only the blood of Jesus can perform. All this junk that's going on today and a lot of this nonsense, but to be born again.
Yes.
And when you're really, truly born again, you become a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are gone.
That's right.
All things become new. We're inside. Amen.
Amen.
I believe if the Lord would let us see one another inside, you'd be shocked at that beautiful person that's inside that flesh, that body. See, this is just a vehicle. This is just something to move around in while I'm on planet Earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This is just something about transportation, praise the Lord, for my spirit, amen. All this is transportation, praise the Lord. I know it's wearing out, but praise God, amen. I'm ready, amen, to meet the Lord. I want to go into this thing, amen, full faith and confidence in the grace and the love of Jesus, not in my own righteousness, not in my own holiness, not in my own goodness, but what he did for me. Praise the Lord. When I stand before the King, I'm not standing there in my own righteousness. I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ, baptized in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Protected by the Lord Savior, amen, of the world. Praise the Lord. I'm ready to enter into his glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Not because of what I did, because of what he did. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we could just ever get it in the right perspective,
right,
oh, we'd have a much more peaceful life.
Amen.
You'd have a much more joyful life. Amen. But we're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
And in 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord. When does that happen? When you're born again. You're joined to the Lord. And you know what happens? You become one spirit with the Lord. Now, wait a minute now. Now we're getting really into something. When I'm born again, the Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know about you, but that means my spirit cannot be separated from the Lord's spirit. My spirit and his spirit is one.
Yes.
And your spirit and his spirit is one.
Yes.
So your spirit and my spirit is what?
One.
We are all one in Christ Jesus' sake. We're one people. We're one body. Amen. The church is not a building. The church is men and women born again. We are the church of the living God. Our bodies, praise the Lord. We're the habitation of God inside of us, praise the Lord. Amen. It's where Jesus lives. Our bodies. Oh, you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Sometimes when we pray, we say, we pray like God's way out yonder somewhere. When in truth, God lives in us. Amen. And I want you to understand, he is not hard of hearing. Like my wife accuses me of being. I'm not fully accepting it yet. But God's not hard of hearing. You don't have to yell at him. You can just whisper and he'll hear you. He hears your thoughts. He knows your heartbeats. He knows your tragedies. He knows your trials. He knows your upsetnesses. He knows the very thing that you're going through. Even tonight, he knows all about you. He knows everything about you. You know what? He does not love one person in his room or in the entire world more than he loves another. He loves all of us the same. He said, well, Brother Hayes, some people get more blessed than other people. Maybe it's because they're a little closer to Jesus. I used to say it this way, you know, I've got children that are kind of close to me, but I've got other children that I hardly ever hear from. But those who are closer to me, they get the benefits from being close to Daddy. They get my hugs. They get my phone calls when they're in need. If I can help them, I'll help them. But those are my children that are way off and they never call me, they don't get any benefits from me. But I love them just as much as I love that one that's close to me. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. See, I still love them, amen, but they're further away from me, so I can't bless them as much as I can bless those that's close to me. Don't you think that's the way it is with the Lord? See, the Lord wants us you all blessed. It's His will that you prosper and be in health, even if your soul prosper. It's not just for you or you or you. It's for all of us. He loves us all equally because we're all His children. And He loves us all the same. Amen. So I would advise you tonight, amen, to draw as close to Him as you can.
Right.
How do you draw close to Him? In worship, and praise, and in prayer, and meditation, and walking in Him. Walking in His love. Walking, amen, keeping Him on your mind as you walk day by day by day by day. That's fellowshipping with the Lord. And as you fellowship more and more and more and more with the Lord, you're drawing closer and closer to Him. You're drawing closer to His blessings. You're drawing closer to what He really wants to do in your life. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Yes.
I might have one more scripture that I want to read to you because I know it's cold. How many really loves Him?
Amen.
Now, two scriptures. One of them is in Philemon. 1:6. It says this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. So your faith can work. Being effectual makes something work. How many like your faith to work? That thy faith may become effectual. So your faith can work. There's a reason that your faith is not working, and there's something you can do to get your faith to working. It says that Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual or might work by the acknowledging. To acknowledge something is to accept it. By the accepting. By the acknowledging of something. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. Every good thing, Jesus put it in you. And what does He say? Your faith will work when you accept that. When you accept that every good thing that you desire is not way off there somewhere. It's already been deposited in you. Jesus did that when you become a new creation in God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things become new. What new? What was it that become new? Every good thing would put in you. Every good thing that you would ever have to have in this life has already been placed within inside you. It is deposited in you. That's what the scripture says. And there's no getting around it. I mean, it's plain as the nose on a duck's face. He's all nose. Every good thing which is in you. He's saying it's already in you.
Amen.
So He's saying that if every good thing is already in me, then everything I need in this life, the Lord has provided it already.
Amen.
And He placed it within me when I was born again, and you when you were born again. My other scripture, and I'll close with this one. It's in 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. Oh, I've got dozens of scriptures. Dozens of scriptures. I could preach to you all night about the goodness of God and what God's put inside of you. Of who you are in Christ Jesus. Of how God looks at you. And people look at you, but how does God look at you? What does God see when He sees you? He don't see your faults. He don't see the things that's wrong in your life. He sees the potential in your life. Amen. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1:3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. Now that's what the Bible said. He hath given, which means He has already. According to His divine power. This is what God did. His divine power did something when you were born again. According as His divine power hath. has already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How do we understand that all these things have been given to us? Through the knowledge of it. That's why Peter wrote this, where they would understand. This is the knowledge. I want you to understand. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already done it for you. He's already given me power to overcome the devil. He's given me power to overcome my will. He's given me power to live holy. He's given me power to overcome sin. He placed all of that in me when He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have the power. You do have the power. Yes, you do. You have everything that you need. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to living in this world. God has already deposited that in your spirit when you were born again.
Amen.
Now that's what the Word of God said. Now are we going to believe God? Or are we going to believe our own reasoning? See, we're going to have reasoning. I don't know if that thing's in me or not. I don't know. I know it says that, but I don't feel nothing, you know, and I just won't. No. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God said. And if God said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord, that settles it with me. If he said that all things pertain to life and godliness has already been given me through the knowledge of Christ Jesus, through my knowledge, through my understanding. That's why teaching is so important. That's why knowledge is so important. It's to understand who you are in Christ. What you are in Christ. What you can do in Christ. Amen. What power do you have? Is there an anointing in you? There's enough anointing in you. There's enough Holy Ghost in every born again Christian to raise the dead. To heal the sick. But we want to look at a personality somewhere. Rather than looking to the God that lives inside of us. The Bible clearly tells us God does not live in temples made with man's hands. How many's ever seen the temple down here at Cardston? I don't care how big it is, how pretty it is, how much money it costs. God does not live in temples made with man's hand. God does not live in that temple.
Amen.
Now that's the Word of God. That's what God's Word says. Now I'm prepared to let every man be a liar, and I hope you are too. Let God be true. God does not live in that temple. He lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You're the place of God's habitation.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He lives in us. He lives in His church. Praise God. And that is why, praise the Lord, there is an awakening going on to me. A revival is an awakening. What is it? It's to awaken God's people to who they are in Christ. Praise God. Because how many know we're being attacked, amen, by demonic powers and forces like...